So if you have your Bibles tonight and you want to open, we're going to really highlight, go through the Second Chronicles, not the whole book. Yeah, Second Chronicles. Yeah, the whole book we're going to go through. No, chapter 20 of Second Chronicles. So open your Bible, and I'm going to be reading from the New King James. And if you don't have your Bible, it's going to be right up there. And so you can follow along there. If you have your little note tablet or something, I don't know how you want to take notes, if you want to take notes, but there's a few things that I hope you'll go take home with you tonight, especially as we look at 2 Chronicles 20, the amazing strategy with the surprising outcome. That's the title of my message. Amazing strategy with surprising outcome. It happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others with them besides the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. That's King Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, "A great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazon Tamar, which is in Gedi." How many of you have been to Israel and you know where En Gedi is? That's an awesome, awesome place. I hope sometime you get to go to Israel and visit En Gedi. You can just imagine when you're there, David hiding in the rocks and the crevices, and there's a stream that flows from back in the far country, and it's deserty, and it's amazing. But truly, the animals roam. Anyway, so I don't want to get off track on Israel. Y'all should sign up. If you can gather up $5,000, just go right ahead and sign up for the May trip, I believe. So anyway, that's another story. But anyway, so they were near En Gedi. They were coming through En Gedi. And Jehoshaphat, his response, he feared, obviously. Have you been afraid when you're being attacked? Of course. It's a human reaction. But what he did next was perfect. He set himself to seek the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord. And from all the cities of Judah, all the cities of Judah came together to seek the Lord. So I'm going to stop for a moment and say, okay, here's a lesson for us. When the enemy comes in, the first thing we need to do is to seek the Lord. We turn to the Lord. We talked about prayer a lot. So we're going to turn to the Lord by acting on what we know about him, and then obviously we follow up with prayer. So I'm going to read on verse 5. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem and the house of the Lord before the new court and prayed. And this is what he prayed. O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might so that no one is able to withstand you? Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of the land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever? And they dwell in it now and have built you a sanctuary for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before the temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple. And we cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. And now, here we are, and here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but turned from them and did not destroy them. So here they are rewarding us by coming to throw us out of our own possession, which you have given to us to inherit. Here's the king's petition. O our God, will you not judge them? But I love how King Jehoshaphat addresses the Lord. He reminds the Lord of his promises. Do you do that when you pray? Do you remind the Lord of his promises to you, a child of God? It's okay. It's a good thing, because what we're doing is really, God doesn't need a reminder, but we remind ourselves what God has said. And so, and he's also addressing God as the ruler over all and the one who has control. So here he says again, here's his petition after this introduction. Sometimes we have, like Peter did, save me, Jesus, and that's okay too. But in this situation, this is how the king prayed. Oh God, will you not judge them? It's okay for you and me to also say to God, God, will you deal with my enemy? The king turned the whole matter, the whole problem, the whole situation over to God. He gave the battle to God, in other words. And then he goes on in verse 12b and says, for we have no power. This great multitude that is coming against us, we don't have the power, nor do we know what to do. But our eyes are on you. Gals, that's the bottom line in all of our situations, in all of our battles, whether they seem like small little skirmishes or whether it's a huge mountain in front of us. We have no power, but our eyes are on you, and we don't know what to do. Our wisdom is so limited. So my takeaway at this moment is, it's an act of faith that I want to imitate, that I want to follow. And as Cheryl says, trust and entrust. I go over and over again with those two words. You know the difference between trust and entrust? Think about it. Study it. Note it. It's one of those sila things. Entrust things to God and trust him to take care of it. But they were desperate. The king was desperate. So verse 13 says, now all of Judah with their little ones, their wives, and their children stood before the Lord. I think once we pray, we need to stand and wait in awe and reverence of God. Now it's time to wait for God to hear. Well, he hears, but wait for him to answer. So we have to have our ears open, listening for his answer. Because I'm not sure how long they waited, but verse 14 says, then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Hazael. I don't know how you say his name, but anyway, best I could do. He was a son of Zechariah, and then there was other names in there that I'm going to skip. But he was a Levite and the son of Asaph. And he was in the midst of the assembly. So God didn't speak to King Jehoshaphat, but he sent the answer through this Levite. And he said, and then this gentleman said to the crowd and said to the king, he addressed them in verse 15, listen, all you of Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem and you, King Jehoshaphat, listen, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. That is a pretty awesome reply. That's a wow thing, if you ask me. So God reassured, we're going to go on and finish reading here in a moment, but God reassured them through this gentleman because God spoke. He gave them encouragement. He gave them hope and comfort. And when we listen to the Lord through his word or through the internal spirit of God that speaks to us sometimes or reminds us of a scripture, it's always a word of hope. It's a word of encouragement. And then he gave them instructions. God just didn't leave it there. He gave them instruction. He told them in verse 16, tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up from the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jerel. 17, I love it. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. He goes on, do not fear nor be dismayed. That's the second time he said that. Do we need sometimes a second repeated message from the Lord? I do. Maybe two isn't even enough sometimes. So he says, tomorrow, go out against them. Don't wait. Don't procrastinate. Tomorrow, go out against them. Why? For the Lord is with you. That is good news. And I'm sure that the people, and as well as Jehoshaphat, were greatly encouraged. So I'm going to put God's answer in my vernacular. God says to you and me, I've got this. I will intervene. I'm in control. Stand still and let me do the work. Or get a grip on your emotions, Glenda. I am with you. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. Those are emotional words, right? In the sense of that's what's happening internally. God says, no, trust me. I've got this. I'm for you. I'm with you. You won't even need to fight in this particular battle. And the reaction, the response that King had was awesome. 18, and the king bowed his head with his face to the ground in humility. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord as well. Can you picture it in your mind's eye? Not just the king on his face before the Lord, but all the people bowed down because God had spoken. God had encouraged them. In humble worship and adoration and thanksgiving, their hearts must have been lifted, even though they were down on their face before an awesome God in reverence with thanksgiving. What a relief. It's one of those, whew, God's got this. We can trust him. So verse 19, then the Levites and the children of Kohathites and the children of Korahites stood up to praise the Lord of Israel with voices loud and high. The congregation stood up and sang with all their heart, with all the power of their voices, with a voice of a shout. There's Psalms that talks about shout unto the Lord with the voice of triumph. It's okay to shout to the Lord, a hallelujah, praise the Lord, amen, Pastor Brian. Oh, well, we wouldn't want to do that too loudly. But the thing is, don't you love it when we're in congregational worship and the voices are just resonant with sound and enthusiasm from heart of thanksgiving and praise to our worthy God? I love that sound. I love that sound. Sometimes I stop singing myself so that I can hear more of the voices around me. But we're all to enter in with that praise and thanksgiving. So they rose early in the morning. They obeyed, right? So they rose up early in the morning, and they went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Now the king has a message for the people. What does he say? Believe in the Lord your God. Important. Underline that. Take notes. That's our first response. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. There's a promise attached to that, according to King Jehoshaphat. Not only are we to believe in the Lord our God, we're to believe his prophets. Doesn't that mean we're supposed to believe what God has written in his word? The Old Testament, the New Testament, all of it is inspired. We learn that from the New Testament scripture in Timothy. All scripture is inspired of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness. You know that verse. So we need, just like they did, to believe what God had told them through the prophet. And then another promise, and you will prosper. So here we got the takeaways. Believe the Lord, believe his prophets, believe the message that God has given you through the scriptures, and you will prosper, and all will be well in the end, because God's got it. So let me ask you this question now. How important is faith? Very important, yes. In fact, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So, whatsoever is not of faith is sin, is another scripture just come to my mind. So, that's another Sila thing. Put it in your notes and think about the importance of faith. So now, what happened is when Jehoshaphat had consulted with the people, this is what he did for the strategy. He appointed those who would sing to the Lord, and surprise, surprise, he put them to praise the Lord and sing as they went out. He put them in front of the army. Most kings would put the warriors in front. I would have, wouldn't you? those with weapons, those with who the strong men, and those that, I mean, you see the pictures of the wars that we fought by human hands, and all the armor and all the big weaponries in front. This is different. God's got a lesson for you and me right here. It's not that we discard the weapons that we studied a couple weeks ago, the armor that we have at our disposal and we're to use. God said to use it. But there are times when God says, put the singers in front. And so that's what they did. And what were they to say? Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. It's kind of a short song, isn't it? But they must do like some of our new choruses. I think we sing the repetition again and again. In fact, I have to get my flesh down because I'm thinking, how many times do we say that phrase? Let's get us a new one. So that's my sinful side. So, but his mercy endures forever, and the New Living says his faithful love endures forever. So here it is, our amazing strategy. So the worship team is going to go out in front of the army singing praise with their hearts and minds and voices. So now we come to the surprising outcome. Number one, divine intervention. Verse 22, now when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord did what? He set ambushments against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. Verse 23, for the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly killing and destroying them. The enemy turned on one another, and when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. What an amazing event. God's divine intervention, but who would have thought? Who would have ever imagined God would do this? So, praise has power. Praise is a weapon that you and I can. We combine it with prayer, as Jehoshaphat, but we combine prayer and praise, and unexpected things happen. God intervenes in miraculous ways. Only the Lord could do this. Can you imagine a real war? And the enemy decides to, they don't care about you anymore. They're going to kill each other. Wow, that would be. So the thing I want to remind myself, that I want to expect from God the unexpected. I need to let my mind and my heart and my understanding of God so expand that he could do something so beyond my expectation that I would be thrilled. Even as these must have been, these people, the Israelites. Somehow, God, defeat my enemies. Come and get yourself glory in my situation. So here's a surprising outcome, what I call number two, is they visualized it. So, verse 24, so when Judah came to a place overlooking the wilderness, where apparently these armies were, they looked toward the multitude, and guess what? There were only dead bodies. Surprise, surprise. No one had escaped. To me, that's so remarkable. So then surprising outcome number three is the actualization of this surprising outcome. Verse 25. So when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil, they found among them an abundance of valuables on the dead bodies. Precious jewelry, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. This is the army of Judah and Jerusalem. And there was so much spoil, they couldn't even carry it all away because there was so much. And on the fourth day, they assembled. Now, I don't know if it took them 4 days to collect everything. I'm not quite sure there what the purpose is for this little gap in the thought. But where did they assemble? In the Valley of Baraka, which means the Valley of Blessing. I love the psalm that turns, your weeping will be turned to joy. And you go through the Valley of Baca, which is similar. Valley of Baca is weeping, but then you arrive to the Valley of Blessing. So we walk through the difficulties, and God will bring us out to the place, the valley of blessing. And I'm sure you have a testimony of that. And I hope that you'll share it with somebody to bless and encourage them. Because the valley there is called the valley of blessing until this day. So let's go on. Verse 27, then they returned, every man to Judah and Jerusalem, with Jehoshaphat in front of them, to go back to Jerusalem with joy. For the Lord had made them rejoice over their enemies. Truly, a valley of blessing realized. So total victory came by the sovereign, almighty hand of God. They did not have to lift a finger. And yet, praise continued after the battle. And I love this. Verse 28. So they came to Jerusalem with stringed instruments and harps and trumpets to the house of the Lord. And God's witness went throughout all the kingdoms. God got himself glory. Because the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. Then the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for God gave him rest all around. Praise should never stop. In fact, we should learn to praise God before we see the victory, even as they did, as they started out on this journey, this army, this war. They were praising God before they saw the outcome. So we need to keep on praising, and it will bring glory to God, and it will be his witness. And then remember the last verse here, that God does give his people rest. A respite from war. Are you in a place of temporary rest tonight? Enjoy it, but keep on praising. But be prepared for the next skirmish, because, again, we know that battle is a part of our walk with the Lord. When the battle begins again, let's take the lessons that we're learning from this chapter from Jehoshaphat. Let's apply the principles that we see here. Review. The battle belongs to the Lord. Jesus has won the victory over Satan, sin, and death. Colossians 2:18, we've used it before in this series. Jesus spoiled or disarmed principalities, powers, triumphing over them in his death and resurrection. So through the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our enemies have been spoiled. They have been annihilated. They have been disarmed in the sense they're not dead in the sense that they're not active, because the wiles of the devil, we know, he goes about like a roaring lion seeking who may devour. We studied that enemy the first week we talked together. But the next thing we always need to remember is Jesus fights for us. Doesn't it not say that I will never leave you nor forsake you? Over and over throughout the scriptures, there's the phrase, I am with you. From beginning to end, from Moses all the way through to Revelation, I am with the churches. Another example is found in 2 Chronicles 32:7-8, King Hezekiah. This was his experience. God spoke to him and said, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or dismayed before a king of Assyria. So this is another king coming against Israel. Nor be afraid before this great multitude that is with him, with the king of Assyria. For there are more with us than with him. And that is true of us as well. The armies of heaven are for us, and they're with us. And there's more with us than there is with him. But then he says, with him, that is the other king or the enemy, is the arm of the flesh. But with the Lord our God is help to fight our battles. So in response to Hezekiah's prayer of faith, you know what happened? The angel of the Lord killed 185,000 Assyrians in one night, totally devastating the army. Another glorious intervention, miraculous work of God on their behalf. The Bible is filled with testimonies of personal victories in the Lord. Joshua, Caleb, David, Goliath, Gideon, the king, other kings of Israel, Nehemiah, we studied Nehemiah, Daniel and his three friends. Can you imagine the battle that they experienced? But God gave them victory. And we skip to the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, who won spiritual battles again and against the foe, against the world, the flesh, and the devil. So what kind of battle are you in today? Believe. Believe what God has said in his word. Believe what he has spoken to you. He is for you. You do not stand alone. Jesus stands with you. And I talked about before that we stand shoulder to shoulder in the body of Christ to fight the battle. But most of all, Jesus is with you. He's the captain of your salvation. He is your mighty conqueror. Jesus has won the victory. Then we need to follow the example of Joseph, Jehoshaphat, and David. Let me review a moment again. How important is thanksgiving? Jehoshaphat and the singers sang songs of thanksgiving again before they knew the outcome. The word thanksgiving occurs 32 times in 31 verses in the New King James. The give thanks phrase is 91 times in 44 verses. In 2 Chronicles 20:19, the people stood up to praise and thank the Lord. So, a practical thing that you and I can do is to enroll in the school of thanksgiving. How thankful are we? How often do we stop and thank the Lord for all he's done for us, or even for a few things he's done for us in our times when we get up in the morning? Do you thank God you can even just stand up? Thank God. I thank God sometimes when I take a walk. Thank you, Lord, that I can walk. Some people that are nearing 80 like I am, they can't get out anymore. They can't walk. God, I'm so thankful you blessed me. I don't deserve it, but thank you. That's just a little thing. And every day we should thank the Lord for the cross. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving my sins. Thank you, Lord, for taking the wrath of God on yourself. The wrath that I deserve, the punishment I deserve, you took that. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Thank you that you removed my sins as far as the east is far. You can just think of it, just pause long enough to do it. That's what we do. Sometimes we just hit the ground running, and or we just get up and the first thing we think about is coffee. That's amen, sister. So, but what? Thank you, Lord, that I have a coffee maker. Thank you, Lord, that I have food in the refrigerator and I have coffee in the cupboard. Thank you, Lord. I want to give thanks and enroll in that school for eternal life, for heaven, the hope of heaven. God's preparing a place for you and me, for his love, that he hears and answers your prayers, that he is good. He is always good. No matter what happens, fall back on God is good. We don't understand him and what he does and what he allows, but God is good. Nothing will change that. God is faithful, and God is faithful to answer his promises. Then if we move into a school of thanksgiving with our material blessings, the list is endless. The creature comforts that you and I have. Oh my goodness. When I was a little kid, we moved out to the country from the city in Orlando, and we had an outdoor toilet. It's like, what? We didn't have running water at first in the kitchen. My mother had a pump. I had a new baby brother. And I was 7 years old. And it was kind of staggering for my teenage sister. She was not too happy. But anyway, so, and of course, when we went to the little outhouse, there was mud daubers. Do you know what a mud dauber is? Nobody who grew up, that didn't raise in Florida in the country, doesn't know what a mud dauber is. It's like a little wasp that makes a nest up in the corner of like a little, up the corner of the outhouse, girls. And we had, you know, my parents had a garden. We took a bath for a while. Now my uncle and my dad were working on modernizing it. So anyway, now why did I go there? I don't know. But if you had that when I was a kid like I did, it makes you more thankful for what we have today. I mean, my mother boiled my brother's diapers in a kettle over a wood stove outside for a few months. This infant baby, I mean, she was a very clean woman, and those diapers got boiled to pieces. But anyway, so And you know, you move through, you know, in marriage, you move through unemployment, you move through sacrifices to do this and that for your kids and all that. So thank God for your creature comforts. Thank him for the blessings of family. Thank him for the blessings of friendships. Thank him for Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa teaches the word of God. Thank you for Brian and Cheryl. Thank you for the freedom in our countries. We're losing some of them, but we still can meet. You're here tonight. Let's thank God for the blessings. The list is endless. And you could start a list and add to it every day. That's a good practice for us, isn't it? I need to do it more as well. Then what about praise? How important is praise? Give thanks and praise, the phrases together, are found 40 times in only 8 verses. The word praise, listen to this, just the simple word praise is found 237 times and 206 verses in the New King James Bible. Praise is very, very important. It's important to God and it's important to us. Then what about singing, adding singing with praise? Because we know we can praise without singing. I hope you do that. Because basically in your prayer, if you say, thank you, God, I praise you for your faithfulness, you are not singing, but you're vocalizing, you're verbalizing God's worth and God's goodness to us. So, but how important is singing? Sing praise is found 60 times and 27 verses. And David, I love David's example. He's the psalmist, the sweet psalmist of Israel. He sang, he wrote his poems and he sang them. He put them to music because he was a musician. But he talks about with his whole heart, with his soul, with his body. Sometimes he talked about lifting his hands. Sometimes he talked about standing. Sometimes he talked about kneeling. The body positions don't really matter in the sense that he's not going to hear you one over the other. But with his whole body, David sang and praised the Lord with thanksgiving. Singing praise changed David's perspective and his attitude. Now, maybe you're sitting here and you're thinking, I can't carry a tune. Well, it's okay. Psalm 100 verse 4 says, make a joyful noise to the Lord. So if your voice sounds more like a noise, God loves it. Sing and make your joyful noise. An example of David's psalm, you know, Psalm 18? It's a long psalm, but here's the lead verse to it. For the choir director, David wrote this, a psalm of David, a servant of the Lord. He sang this song to the Lord on the day the Lord rescued him from all his enemies. Almost makes me want to cry. And from Saul. You know his persecutor, Saul, was his arch enemy. He hadn't done anything to Saul to harm him. In fact, he loved Saul. He responded. He respected Saul. And yet Saul was out to kill him, including the army of Saul. So he said, on the day the Lord rescued him from all his enemies and from Saul, he sang, I love you, Lord. You are my strength. And you can read the rest of that glorious psalm where David recounted God's divine intervention. And Psalm 69:30 says this, I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. I did a little research on the benefits of singing, and this is according to my research on Bing, B-I-N-G. You don't have to Google. You can go Bing. My son-in-law says Google traces every single thing you do. Bing it. Don't Google it. Bing it. So that's a little word from my son-in-law, who's very conscious about security. So I Binged this and found out the benefits of singing, especially group and congregational singing. Group singing has been scientifically proven to lower stress, relieve anxiety, and elevate endorphins. Now, I'm not a nurse, so I don't really know what endorphins are, but it's probably good that they're elevated. As the popularity of group singing grows, science has been hard at work trying to explain why. It has such a calming yet energizing effect on the people. What researchers are beginning to discover is that singing is like an infusion of the perfect tranquilizer, the kind that both soothes your nerves and elevates your spirits. Huh. The elevation may come, the elation rather, may come from the endorphins, a hormone released by singing, which is associated with the feelings of praise. Pleasure. Not praise, but pleasure. Or it might be from, not oxycontin, that's a wrong word, but this is oxytocin. Okay, get that straight. I had to look at it three times, like, what? No, we're trying to get rid of oxycontin, right? So we're going to do oxytocins, or that's another hormone that's released during singing, which has been found to alleviate anxiety and stress, which I said earlier. Oxytocin also enhances the feelings of trust and bonding. Beautiful, huh? Which they explain why more studies have found that singing lessens feelings of depression and loneliness. Oh, it's getting interesting, huh? The benefits of singing regularly seem to be cumulative. In one study, singers were found to have lower levels of cortisol, indicating lower stress. A very preliminary investigation underlined suggests that our heart rates may sync up during group singing, and it could explain why singing together sometimes feel like a guided group meditation. Study after study has found that singing relieves anxiety and contributes to the quality of life. Dr. Julian K. Johnson, a researcher who has focused on the older singers, hey, that's me, I'm in that group, recently, after a 5-year study, after examining group singing as an affordable method to improve the health and well-being of older adults. You want to join up, ladies? Let's form a choir. It sounds pretty awful, but we could have no more stress. We'd feel no more loneliness. We would feel no depression. Oh, gloom, despair, and agony. Oh, I used to sing that to Kay once in a while. When we got in one of those down moves, she says, Glenda, sing your song. Oh, boy. That was Minnie Pearl's song. Most of you don't even know who Minnie Pearl is, but that's okay. That's a whole nother story. So here we go. News flash. God knew the benefits of singing. He knew that. He designed it. He created you and me. And he says over and over again in the word, he instructs us. He also commands us to what? Sing to the Lord. Sing a new song. Make up a song even if you're not a musician. I've tried that a few times and nobody else would want to hear it, that's for sure. Maybe it was a blessing to God because I was trying. But sing to the Lord. Music is a gift from God. How many of you really like music? I know I've liked music ever since I was a kid. So, and even if you don't, music is a gift from God. And the ability to play or sing is also a gift from God. But God gave us all a voice. We can make a joyful noise. There are so many benefits to singing. They have personal benefits, but they also have group benefits, as we just talked about in the research. And also, when we think about singing, praise transforms our attitudes and our perspective. Again and again, when we turn to the Psalms, we realize that David, by singing and praising, through the gift of music, through the gift of praise and song, his mind and his heart and his soul were strengthened. He was relieved. He was built up. Songs of praise moved him from despair and despondency to joyful exaltation in the name of the Lord. Took him from fear and depression to courage and hope. Read through the Psalms. See if you don't see that. Took him from gloom to glory. Took him from sadness, loneliness, isolation, to a sense of belonging. I belong to you, Lord. To a sense of purpose. From woe is me. Do you ever have one of those pity parties? Woe is me. Even Elijah had woe is me moments. But he moves us from that woe is me attitude. If we start to praise, if we start to thank him, if we start to sing, it moves us into the glorious presence and the power of Almighty God. What a wonderful weapon. David encouraged himself in the Lord, we read in the Old Testament. And he saw the Lord as his deliverer, as his hope, as his rescue, as his savior, as his king, as his shepherd. You could go on and on with the descriptions that David came up with. And that's how he encouraged himself in the Lord. He got discouraged, pretty absolutely clear, as you read through the Psalms, that he did get discouraged. But David knew how to encourage himself in the Lord. Do you know how to encourage yourself in the Lord? Do some of the things we're talking about here tonight. Can't you just hear David singing the Psalms from his hiding place in the caves of En-Gedi? Thou, Lord, art a shield about me. You're my glory. You're the lifter of my head. Thou, O Lord, art a shield about me. You're my glory. You're the lifter of my head. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You're the lifter of my head. Unto thee, O Lord, I will lift up my voice. Unto thee, O Lord, I will lift up my voice, O my God. I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Thank you, Lord. You are my hiding place. You always fill my heart with songs of deliverance. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. I will trust in you. Let the weak say, I am strong in the strength of the Lord. I will trust in you. I will trust in you. Let the weak say, I am strong in the strength of the Lord. I will trust in you. Every day I look to you to be the strength of my life. You're the hope I hold on to be the strength of my life. Be the strength of my life. Be the strength of my life. Be the strength of my life today. You're the strength of my life. You're the strength of my life. You're the strength of my life today. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing. I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness, with my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. How about thy loving kindness is better than life. Thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips will praise thee, thus will I bless thee. I will lift up my hands unto thy name. I lift my hands up unto thy name. I lift my hands up unto thy name. My lips shall praise thee, thus will I bless thee. I will lift up my hands unto the Lord. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Just the sheep of his hand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. As you can see, music calms us while chasing the enemy away. If you can play an instrument, grab your guitar, pick up your flute, whatever instrument you can play, or sit down at your piano. I wish I could play an instrument, but I can lift up my voice to the Lord. That's what we're called to do. When you are bombarded with negative thoughts, either sing, or if you can't, you're just too emotionally drained to sing, turn on the radio. Turn on Christian music. Play a praise CD. I'm sure most of you have at least one praise CD. Put it on. There's healing in music. I've recently found, I don't have a big cable thing where you get all kinds of channels, but I found that I have a Christian contemporary music channel on my cable TV that I can turn that on and have that praise reverberate all around me. It changes me. It lifts our head. It touches our hearts. It changes our emotions. It changes our perspective. Just do it. The Nike ad. Nike, we talked about, means victory. The enemy will flee, and your own heart will be lifted. So remember, prayer, praise, and thanksgiving brings victory. Call on God. Acknowledge his presence and his ability, his faithfulness in the past. Acknowledge his promises for you today. Believe in the Lord and believe he will answer and work on your behalf. Turn the battle over to him and move from petition to praise and thanksgiving with songs of praise. While we have life and breath, ladies, we can be and should be singing songs of praise. While we're on earth, we have an opportunity to choose to praise the Lord on a daily basis. But when we get to heaven, do you know what heaven will resound with? The sound of music. The true sound of music will be heard in all of heaven. What it'll be like, I don't know. As a movie, I can only imagine. Let me read a couple of scriptures to you from Revelation. Revelation 14:3 says, this great choir, there'll be choirs, the saints will sing. Glorious music. The choir sang a wonderful new song in front of the throne of God. before the four living beings and the 24 elders. No one could even learn this song except the 144,000 who had been redeemed from the earth, those who were rescued. Revelation 5:9 says, they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and open its seal. You were slain and have redeemed us from God by your hand, out of every tribe and tongue and nation and people. Revelation 7:12 says, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to you, our God, forever and ever. Amen. The last one, Revelation 15:3, is they sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, Jesus the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Meanwhile, while we're here waiting for heaven, use the weapons of prayer and praise and thanksgiving. If you do, it will lead to that victory. So let's use the amazing strategy of praise while we wait and watch for the surprising outcome of the victory, even as King Jehoshaphat and the tribe of Judah and all Jerusalem were waiting, watching to see what God was going to do. The victory, the outcome, that surprising outcome, as the enemy of God's people were defeated by divine intervention. These biblical strategies from the beginning of our study will bring victory every time if we use them. Hebrews 13:15 says, therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Let's pray. Father, you have given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. It's my theme song. Everything that I need, everything these ladies individually need, you have given to us for life, that's now, and godliness, the pursuit of godliness. And we want to be more like you, Jesus. We want to be worshipers. We want to be praisers. We want to please your heart. We want your praise to transform us and move us from glory to glory, from victory to victory, as we proclaim your name, Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior, the only Savior of all mankind. Amen.